It's summertime is coming to an end, and we're looking to get back into our full schedule, briefly starting this week, and then next week after that, we are all hands on deck and back at it again, and we're greatly looking forward to not only youth club, but the youth club starting back, both in the school on the Wednesday afternoon, as well as Tuesday evening. Tuesday afternoon and Friday evening here at Sarin. So I do ask you to continue to pray, if you will, guys, for the works that are going on through and by the church. John chapter 15, guys, if you will, we're going to continue in our study in the mindset of influence. And so we're going to get into that today, and I'm looking up there. There we are. Sweet. John chapter 15, and when you get there, guys, let's all stand as we'll be looking at the answer to our fruit this morning. The answer to our fruit. John chapter 15, looking in verse 1. John chapter 15 and in verse 1. The Bible says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So more and no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Brother Preston, we be a blessing today, and I ask the Lord's blessing upon our sermon this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the good song service. I pray, God, that our hearts are ready and prepared to receive your word
today, dear God.
Because Brother Sagner, I pray that you'll just fill him up, use him, recall things to his memory. Lord, maybe even give him something extra, Lord, today as he preaches.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray that he'll just be your lips and you'll speak through him. And God, I just ask that we'll be receptive of your word. And I want to ask that you even touch every man of God, Lord, that's standing around this world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated if you will. Again, guys, it is a tremendous blessing to be here. But last week we saw that through our relationship with the Son, and that is the Son of God. Remember, we looked in the first session in John 14 that the answer to our fear is a relationship with the Father in heaven. I know you can't have a relationship with the Father in heaven without having a relationship with the Son of God. So in our second session, we're addressing the answer to our fruit. How do we have fruit in our Christian life? How can we develop this mindset of the Christian influence, or this Christian mindset of influence in the world today, so that we may bear fruit in the life that God has given us, in the time that he's allowed us to have on this earth? Well, we're going to do so through the Son of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only are we looking in our heart's mind about being fruitful, but concerning our fruit, the blessing that we have in our Christian life today, the blessing that we have in being an influence and being influenced by Christ, is not only us being fruitful, which is the result that we saw last week, but secondly, this morning, we're going to see that we are blessed to have and be a friend, having to be a friend. So the fruitfulness was last week, and so now I want you to look in John chapter 12 this morning. John and chapter 12 is where we're going, I'm sorry, John chapter 15, and we're looking in verse 12. John chapter 15 and in verse 12. The Bible tells me here, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friend. Beloved, it does not matter how anyone acts in our life. It does not matter how anyone reacts to you. Everyone, and I mean everyone in this world today, needs a friend. It doesn't matter. There's people that say, well, I don't need anyone at all. I'm my own man. I don't need any help. I get along in my life just fine and just dandy. And I don't need anyone's help in this life. And beloved, I'm going to tell you here this morning, we know that is just simply not true. Amen. Everyone needs a friend. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So the reality is this, is that we're going to be an influence in this world. If we're going to be an influence in the lives of others and those that are around us today, if that is going to happen in our day, Guys, we're going to have to be a friend. And not only be a friend to influence others, but we have a friend who influences us, and that friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. Read that verse with me again in verse chapter 15 and in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Watch this. Here's the contrast. As I have loved you. Greater love, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. So, beloved, the influence that we have on people in this world as a friend is based upon the influence that Jesus Christ has had upon us in laying his life down for us and sacrificing. So what is a friend to you today? What would you consider a friend? Is a friend someone that you hang out with, that you have coffee with, someone that you text with, someone that you keep phone calls with, that you have communication with? All of those things are associated with what a friend does. But what is a friend? There was an old British publication that once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And among thousands upon thousands of answers, here are some of the ones that got up into the top, if you will. They were the top 10, I think, or top 5 around that area. And one of them said that a friend is defined as one who multiplies joy, divides grief, and whose honesty is inviolable. Another one said a friend is one who understands our silence. I kind of like that one there. One said, a friend is a volume of sympathy bound in cloth. Another one said, a friend is a watch that beats true for all time and never runs out. But the winning definition of what was considered to be the best definition of a friend was this one. It says, a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. And my friend, there's probably not a better description outside of the Bible than that which Jesus Christ has been a friend unto us than that right there. A friend is one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. The Bible clearly tells us that I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen and amen. And that just tells us what Jesus Christ did. Jesus is given an illustration of himself here in verse 13 about the friend that he is to us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now the title friend occurs in the Bible 53 times out of 49 verses. The last conversation. Now think about this for just a second. The last conversation that the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, had with the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The last conversation they had, Jesus referred to him as friend. Betrayeth me with a kiss. Oh, friend. He betrayed him with a kiss and Jesus called him friend. My friend, how convicting that had to be for the one who was being sentenced to die by according to this man's lust and this man's greed and in all fairness, this man's fear, through an act of self-preservation, and the Lord called him friend. Oh, beloved, think about this for just a second. It makes me wonder how often, many a times, we in our life today consider someone to be a friend and yet they don't act or react as a friend. Or how many people consider us to be a friend and we don't take up that mantle as Christ did and laying his life down for his friend. What happens in our life today, in our world today, when we stop to think of what the Lord has done for us? Beloved, Jesus Christ has given us the greatest example of what a friend is. In verse 12, he simply says that we should love one another. He said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Our Lord takes great lengths to give us this commandment. He takes great effort to give us this example. He takes great labor, if you will, to let us know what true love is and what true sacrifice is. In verse 12, if you'll look there with me again, I don't know what's on the screen this morning. I'm not really concerned about it, to be honest with you. I've kind of said bye-bye to the screen, so we're going to say bye to it, I guess. We'll go over here. So nevertheless, look there in verse 12 with me and notice what this word is. I want you to see in verse 12, the Bible tells me, this is my commandment that ye watch, love one another. Now that word love there comes from the Greek word agapeo. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Watch this. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Beloved, that love is a sacrificial love. It's a love that gives, not just talks. It's a love that sacrifices, not just walks. It's a love, my friend. It's a love, my friend, that is willing to give in and of itself. And whether or not, it doesn't matter if he's spent, he will gladly be spent over and over and over. True love looks for nothing in return. Kindness, my friend, when you exercise through the love that God has given us, that he has given us the example for, never looks for anything in return from those it is given out to. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this. Now that word love comes from the Greek word agape. And it's the same words that we're looking at. It's the same word used for charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is a sacrificial giving love. And Paul said, the greatest of the three, there's faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of those three is what? It's charity. Charity. Beloved, this is the example that Christ has given us. This is the influence that the Lord, not just saving our souls for all eternity, which is the greatest gift in mankind. The day and the night that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. I had a young man the other day was asking me about, my wife was asking me about our marriage and how long we've been married. It's been 21 years this coming November, and it's been a tremendous 21 years. There's, I mean, absolutely nothing that I can complain about it. And so we were, except for the fish, but nevertheless, I'm just joking. But I'm just trying to tell you that, you know, it's been outstanding. And I made a comment in the middle of that conversation. It's the second greatest decision I've ever made in my life. And he says, what's the first? I said, accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I would not be able to love my wife in the manner that the Bible has directed me to do so if I was not saved and born again of the blood of Christ. Can't do it. She cannot love me as her husband if she has not made the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. But bottom line, that's just the way that is. Marriage, it doesn't matter what the world deems marriage. Marriage is instituted of God, amen? And it's instituted through a sacrificial love that he's influencing us today in this world today. We are influenced by the love of Christ. And that same love, we need to go forth and influence others. Beloved, a true friend will sharpen others. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. You know what, guys? We should strive. We should look. We should labor to improve the lives of others. When we're around someone, guys, we should try to make them not only just feel better or be better or encourage them or edify or lift them up, but guys, someone should be in a better state of mind and a better place in this life after leaving our presence. We should sharpen the countenance one of another. Iron sharpens iron. A true friend not only sharpens, not a true friend not only sacrifices, but a true friend will share, my friend. The Bible tells me in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Beloved, being a brother or a sister requires you to be a friend to someone, one that will share in the pains of this life, the struggles of daily living. Listen, the commandment that the Lord has given us to love one another as Christ has loved us, we are commanded to love in sacrifice, we are commanded to love in sharpening, and we are commanded to love in sharing. Sharing the burdens as we do one with another. Beloved, that's being an influence. That's the answer to our fruit today, is a relationship with the Son of God. Our relationship, which was given through sacrifice, our relationship with the Son sharpens our countenance, and our relationship with the Son is to be shared within this world today, and that's what a friend will do. Thirdly and finally this morning, not only is our fruit directly dependent upon our relationship with the Son, but it is a deciding factor of being an influence, of being fruitful in this life, of being a friend. It's the deciding and the determining factor of how we influence those that are around us. But I ask you this question. Why do you suppose this morning? Why do you suppose that this relationship with the Son of God is to be so vitally important while we're on earth? I mean, don't we believe in eternal security today? We believe in eternal security. We all believe that once saved, always saved. Amen. If you don't believe that, it's typically because you're reading the wrong book or you've been taught the wrong thing. But two or three verses in the Bible, actually just one, 1 John 5:13, that'll settle that argument right there. Amen. We know that we're eternally secured in eternal salvation. You cannot lose your salvation once you have it. You say, well, preacher, what if I go live in sin? Well, you're going to pay for it. Amen. You're going to pay for it. You're going to suffer. But you'll still be saved. And the things that we may consider to be important in this world today, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, they will wash away. There will be zero importance unto them. The only thing will matter will be what we've done upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, upon what we've done for Him, through Him, and by Him. Amen. And anything other than that is going to go up in smoke. We believe in eternal security. So it's sometimes in our mind, carnally speaking, we may be tempted to say, you know what, we can't lose our salvation. You know, so why, if I can't lose my salvation, why is it so important that I have a labor of love in this world today? Why is it so important that I be a friend and I be fruitful in this life that God has given us? You see, beloved, our fruit and our friendship is associated with our joy. It's associated with our joy, and it is the Lord's desire, thirdly, that our joy to be full. For our joy to be full, my friend. Look in verse 11 with me. And notice what the Lord says. These things have I spoken unto you, that, watch this, my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. My friend, if you have bought into the lie that the Lord is wanting us to live a life full of depression and discouragement and disengagement from people, beloved, listen, I would love to diffuse that thought here, and I would like to encourage you to believe the truth. We just read it right there. You said, well, preacher, I'm a Bible believer. I read it. Now I believe it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. But we live in a world today where there's so many preachers that are getting in the pulpit, and so many Christians in the pews, and so many people at home not refusing to go to church because they believe in order to be spiritual, you got to be disengaged. In order to be spiritual, you got to be depressed. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is a man of sorrows. We understand He was a man of great sorrows, but He was a man of great sorrows because of the sin of mankind, and the sacrifice needed to be paid. And it wasn't the sacrifice on the cross, nor the crown of the thorns, but it was the sacrifice of the cup of God's wrath that would be poured upon Him, the separation of God the Father and God the Son for that 3-hour span. That's the sorrows that poured out into Christ's heart because He loves mankind. Greater love hath no man to this than that he lays life down for his friend. We've said that time and time today. The Lord didn't require us. He doesn't look for us to walk around in this world today depressed and disengaged and discouraged. He's not looking for that. First off, we need to understand that the Lord wants us to have joy in our life. And it doesn't always mean happiness. Guys, you can have unhappiness, a sad and sorrowful time in this life, and yet still have joy. Joy is something that Christ brings in. Beloved, happiness is dependent upon what happens. Joy is dependent upon one thing, that's abiding in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 10 tells us, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Then he goes on and talks about joy. This is full joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Beloved, this is a great lie that's floated in our ranks today. It's a great lie that spirituality is joy, is measured upon how depressed or angry someone is in the pulpit or in the pews. Guys, if this is something that maybe you have been tempted to succumb to, or something that is creeping into your heart and your mind, the more depressed and more discouraged you live in this world, the more spiritual you may be, you have bought in to Satan's lie, and he is robbing you of the joy that Jesus Christ would have you to have. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." Think about it for a second. The Lord came to give us eternal life. Amen? That was His purpose, to seek and to save that which is lost. He came as a friend of sinners to seek and to save that which is lost, that which was separated, to reconcile them unto the Father in His sacrificial gift. Our relationship with the Son is what determines our fruit in this life and the life to come. And we are the only people on this planet. Think about it for a second. We are the only people, no matter what's going on in our surrounding, no matter what's going on in our relationships with others, we're the only people on this planet today that really and truly should have happiness in our life, despite our situations and our circumstances, because the one who created all things, the one in whom all things consist, stepped off the edge of eternity, wrapped on the robes of flesh, and gave his life. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we may be saved. Beloved, that should make you happy today. Your joy should be full if you remain in His love, because again, the answer to your fruit this morning is dependent upon your relationship with the Son of God. Our relationship with the Son of God, guys, is what builds us and enables us to be an influence to others in this life for Him. Full joy is what Jesus would have us to have. He is our friend, my friend. Hey, listen, and we are His fruit. Because of His influence, we can influence others in the same. So if we are His influence and He is our influence, I ask you this morning, are you convinced this morning that Christ would have your joy to be full? Well, I'll explain. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy." And he says, "And my burden is light." Now, can I stop you for a second here? Can I just pause for a second? We are way ahead of time. We're in good shape. How many of us have bought into the idea, the more burdened we are, the more weighted down we are, the harder we're struggling in our Christian life, the more spiritual we must be? Now, that may not make sense to some of you, but I've seen it time and time again, and I know many of you have. I mean, beloved, listen, there is a burden and there is a calling. You ought to be burdened for the lost. If you're not burdened from the lost, there's something wrong. You're called to be a witness, to proclaim the gospel into this world today. Freely you receive, freely you give. Amen? That's simple. But beloved, I'm here to tell you, Christ Jesus didn't call you into His ranks so that you could carry the whole load. The reason His burden is light, the reason that His yoke is easy, is because He's in there with you. He, a friend, loveth at all times, the Bible says. Your fruit's dependent upon what friendship you have with Jesus Christ and how much of His load you're willing to get in there and the yoke with Him. We see these signs, I don't know if you have them here, but in the States, I remember years and years ago, I was a kid when I saw the first one, but these little placards or plates on the front of the cars. If you live in the South, we didn't have to have two reg plates on our cars. You had one in the back, and then you usually put something silly on the front, I don't know, a name or whatever. And there was these ones that were real popular. It says, "God is my co-pilot." And I get what people are saying. I understand that. You know, I'm not throwing rocks at them. But a preacher's getting the pulpit and they say, "Bless God, if God is your co-pilot, you need to change seats." And they're right. God's not my co-pilot. He's my pilot. As a matter of fact, I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers preach one time. He said, "You know what? If you're driving the car today, what you need to do, if you got Christ sitting over in the passenger seat, you know what you need to do? You need to swap seats. As a matter of fact, you need to do more than just swap seats. You need to get in the back seat. As a matter of fact, you need to go more from there. You know what? You need to take the keys, give them to Jesus Christ, get out of the car, open up the boot, get inside the boot, close the boot, and say, 'Have on, wherever you're going, I'm going.'" Amen. Listen, my friend, He is a friend that continues to give, and His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Proverbs 13:15 says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard." Guys, living a sinful life in this world today for the Christian is a hard life. Hey, you look at, listen, sin is not nice to anyone, amen? Sin is not nice to anyone at all, but the Lord Jesus Christ will move in and give you fruitfulness in this life. The fruit that you bear in this world today is based upon your relationship with Him. So you may be sitting here this morning, maybe thinking, you may even be encouraged today to have a mindset of influence among those that are within your sphere. And maybe you're fully convinced of your fruit and the friend, and you're fully convinced to have full joy today, but there's a sliver of discouragement in your life for whatever reason. I want you to remember this here this morning, and I'm closing. The Lord desires for us to know Him. Not just know about Him. The Lord Jesus Christ desires for us to know who He is. He desires for us to have an intimate relationship with Him so that we can glorify Him in this world by duplicating that which He has done for us in this life. There's a lot of men that know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know the Bible. There's a lot of men that know about Jesus Christ, but they don't know Jesus Christ. There's a lot of men that know about the Father in heaven, but they don't know the Father. There's a lot of men that know about the Holy Spirit of God, but they don't know the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ is not interested in you knowing about any of these things. He's interested in you knowing them. He's interested in you in developing an intimate relationship with Him, by Him, for Him, and through Him, so that your fruit may be full. so that your joy may be full, so you may be a friend, not only to him and he to you, but a friend to others, so that your joy in this life will continue. Beloved, if we are going to live in a world of legalism, if we're going to live in a world of liberalism, we're never going to find the love that the Son of God has given us. The same love that saved your soul today is the same love that we are to exhibit in this world amongst those that we are around. The first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is love. The second is joy. Beloved, our fruit is found in a friend. And our joy is full when it's solidified by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You can be an influence to those in this world today if you let the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be an influence upon you. If you allow his fruit to bear in your life. If you allow his love to come into your life, and so that you may be a friend to him and he a friend to you. Your joy can be full this morning, solely and only by your relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the fruit that he will bear in your days. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and for who and what you are. We ask of you now to please continue to bless, Lord, and take your message and write it upon the table of our hearts. We do love you and thank you for all that you've done. And we pray, Father, that we can continually be an influence, Lord, unto those in this life. We ask of you, Lord Jesus, to please move in a great way. Father, we pray that you would please give us guidance and grace. Help us have mercy where mercy is needed. Help us, Father, do the right thing. And Father, I just pray that you would give us guidance. Lord, you'd speak truth, Father. Lord, that you would touch our hearts. But Father, I pray that we would understand that our fruit in this life, and yet the life to come, is dependent upon our relationship with the Son of God. And I ask of you this evening, let no one, Father, depart this house today without making sure they fully and faithfully understand that our relationship with Jesus Christ is based on that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Lord, that we would rather not know about Jesus, but that we would know Jesus. And Father, we would have that intimate relationship that builds one upon another, precept upon precept, word upon word, line upon line. Help us today. Draw ever so closer to Jesus Christ. And Father, if we ever feel ourselves to slip, I ask of you, please, Lord, allow us to come back. Draw us back, Lord God. We may live a life close and bound in the love of our Savior. Father, thank you for the fruit that you'll have in our life. Thank you for the fruit that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that we would go forth this morning closer to you than that which we were when we came in. In Jesus Christ's name we do ask. Amen. And amen. I hope and pray God was good to you this morning, the preaching and teaching of his precious.